And welcome to week 11 of the Sammy Products Fantasy Football Podcast. Only 3 weeks away from the playoffs, and there's a pretty big logjam for the final two spots in our league. A few weeks ago, everyone was either above or below 500, and now it seems like everyone is at 500, 5-5 through, if you're paying attention or good at math, 10 weeks. Not only is there a tie for the fifth, we have a tie for first as well. Scott gets a big win over Fronik, and Austin keeps powering through, upsetting number one seed Jared. Now he and Scott are tied for first. While I was more focused on who's going to be 5-5, Duncan put up a season high 188, more than 100 more than our league low for the week. So with our intro done, it's time to bring in Tim, one of the many teams that are tied at 5-5 in this logjam. How you doing, Tim?
Doing very well. Glad to be 5-5 after going 2-5. So. That I'm feeling
true.
Pretty good.
That is true. So last week you made a trade with Nick. It was Alshon Jeffries and LeSean McCoy for Sproles, Hyde, and Kelvin Benjamin. Obviously, now that Alshon is suspended, you've got to be feeling pretty great about that trade, right?
Very good. I think I made the perfect trade at the perfect time. If I had waited one more week, I don't think the trade would have happened. And then I'd be stuck with a guy that's suspended for 4 weeks, and I need guys to get me into the playoffs. So... yeah, great trade for me. It sucked to lose McCoy, but I think it was something I had to do.
Yeah. So now move on to the trade. Fronik accepted earlier yesterday morning with Pip, Brandon Marshall for Kyle Rudolph and JJ the Jet Plane Nelson. What did you think about that trade?
Well, me and Fronik had been talking before he made that trade. He was asking for a little bit of advice on what to do. Let me pull up his team real quick. So I know he... so he basically lost a top receiver because he got Alshon instead of for Kelvin. And now that Alshon can't play, he's kind of scrounging for receivers. I think that he could have made a better trade. I told him that he should maybe shop Gronk around, and that was before the injury that came out. And I know he was trying to get a wide receiver too. And possibly a wide receiver three. And I think he only got Brandon Marshall in that trade. And that's just not the guy you want right now. I mean, the Jets offense, their QB situation is just garbage right now. Brandon Marshall, this is his first year that he's really been a bad fantasy player. And I think it's a name that he really wanted to get. But I think if you actually look at his production, I don't like that trade at all.
Yeah, he messaged me, or he sent me a text, and he immediately, like at 7 o'clock when he realized the trade went through, he's like, I need you to cancel that because now I don't have a tight end because I didn't know Gronk would be out, and he traded away Rudolph. Not only that, but then he didn't realize at the time he traded away Marshall, who's on a bye. Traded for Marshall, who's on a bye. So you're trying to replace a receiver that's suspended with a guy who's now on a bye after you traded for a running back you needed to fill in a spot who was on a bye. Like, these are... I just don't understand how you don't think things through when you're trading for guys. Like, when I made my trades with Luke to get J-Stew is because I had to go through the bye process of finding a guy again to fill in the holes while Latavius and Matt Jones had their buys back-to-back weeks. And I had gone through it with Starks and Christine Michael had buys back-to-back weeks. So I needed a third running back to fill in the holes. You can't just... you send out a big trade to get guys, and then you have to sit them for a week when you need them that week. It's not a good trade. Like, obviously, if Alshon isn't suspended and he can play him this week along with McCoy, and then when you get Freeman back from the bye, because Atlanta's on a bye as well, like, that bolsters your team, but... you're waiting 2 weeks to get guys back when you're pushing for the playoffs. It's just like the little things would have made this a lot better for him.
Well, right. I mean, this isn't the beginning of the season when you can afford a trade for a guy that has a bye. I mean, he needs that player this week. He's 5-5, like three other teams fighting for position, and he's last in the tiebreakers. So he can't afford to be losing games, especially to Pip this week. And I think that trade is going to possibly hurt him. So yeah, I don't think he made the right move. Rudolph was a solid flex play for him, especially since his receivers are iffy.
Yep.
And now that he lost him, and now that Gronk's out and Alshon's out, just bad luck for Fronik. And I think that trade he might have bought his ticket to his grave with that trade.
So at the time we're recording this in the afternoon on Wednesday, I'm assuming no more trades have gone through. I'm certainly not going to accept any right now. if the anything happens during the podcast. So we're going to get started with the matchups. Let's start with the name-changing machine, Jordan, previously Mike Wallace and Gromit. He's now Color Rush Hour 2 against Andrew. That's Girly, You Can't Be Serious. Both of these teams are at the bottom of the standings, and there isn't a lot hanging on this matchup. Figure we get it out of the way first. Tim, you played Andrew last week. What did you think of his team going into that matchup?
Well, he had, I think, the Lions defense in, and they had a bye, and I know that he had played two byes against Brandon the previous week and still gotten a win. So I was kind of nervous that he had a bye because I didn't want to be the second guy in a row to lose to a team that had players in that had bye weeks. But at the same time, you know, I was like, well, this is good for me. I need wins, and if he's not going to play a guy, I'll take it. I felt pretty good going into it. By about the middle of the day, it wasn't looking super good for me. At one point, he was projected to beat me by like 10 points. And then Antonio Brown in the last like 3 minutes of that game got like 15 points. He got a touchdown on that ridiculous fake spike play. And then in the last like 9 seconds, he ended up getting two receptions and 55 yards. Yeah. So that really helped me. And then Procise just was a huge player for me. He essentially is what got me the win against Andrew. I still had the Giants playing that Monday, and I was thinking to myself, you know, if I'm up by just a few points, I probably won't even play them in case they get a negative. But I ended up at the end of Sunday being up, I think, almost 20 points. So, yeah, I definitely needed that win.
Yeah, I told you. I think I was looking at all the teams that were going to be 5-5. I thought Procise and definitely at least the Seahawks would put up a lot of points going up against that Patriots defense. That's a big win for you.
It was.
Jordan last week played Brandon. It came down to that Monday night game with a battle between Randy Dalton, Rashad Jennings, and Odell Beckham Jr. But it was Jennings and Jr. getting the upper hand. Really tight wide receiver matchup between the two teams. Jordan got 18, 20, and 14 from Demaryius Dev and Steve Smith. Carrying the team, needed a little bit more from the Daltonator Monday, or one less pick, maybe one more completion that easily could have gone Jordan's way. He would have moved out of that bottom spot in the standings. This week, Andrew is at it again with the byes. He's got three. This time, they're not at wide receiver, but they're at quarterback, running back, and kicker. A pair of tough matchups for his top players in Jay Ajayi, DeAndre Hopkins, and the Rams going up against the Raiders in Mexico City are the matchups in that one, respectively. While Jordan gets Marvin Jones back from a bye, has to sit Demaryius on his bye this week, hoping that the Cardinals will be riding David Johnson against the Vikings team that has been taking a downturn as of late. Tim, what do you think of these two teams here?
Well, unfortunately for these two, it's probably what I would call the most irrelevant game this week. It's probably the first week that I would say not all matchups are equal any longer. Starting with Andrew, the first big question is, does he change his lineup?
Right.
I mean, he put in the Patriots defense at like 848 this last Sunday. So I think it was like he realized, oh, shoot, I better put in a player that I didn't do last week. Now that he lost another one, and now that he's, he's 3-7, and he's really busy, I could see him not playing. I could see him not putting in his players. If he does, he'd have to put Kirk Cousins in as quarterback. It's looking like DeSean Jackson is supposed to be back this week, so I was thinking he could possibly go with the duo of those two and hope that they have a good 1-2 punch. Other than that, just looking at most of his players, I don't love many that he has in. Jay Ajayi. I'm not sure. I would assume he would want to move him up to the running back position and then maybe move Michael Floyd or DeSean Jackson, assuming either of them play at his flex. I think really the only two players that are solid for him this week are Delanie Walker and Hopkins. As far as Jordan goes, I know Jordan's been having a rough year.
Yeah.
And after that week where I guess it was 2 weeks ago, he lost like 86-83, and he posted that long thing about leaving fantasy. And I thought, you know, Jordan really can't sink any lower than this. You know, he lost a tough one, and he still managed to sink lower, which I didn't think was possible. I would like to say if Andrew does not put three players in and he still manages to beat Jordan, I think Jordan should go through with what he said and actually take a year off of fantasy, because that
Jordan
is...
Jordan more than Brandon, because Brandon's, I mean, a couple wins, a couple losses, we'll get to his matchup later, but he's, I mean, just a little bit of tweaking away from being right in this playoff hunt. Jordan's 2-8, 6 games out of first, tied for last. If you lose twice to a guy who's got 3 wins and one of them came with 2 byes in his lineup,
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So this is a rough week for Jordan. On paper, I definitely would go with Jordan's team this week. He's got David Johnson playing, Minnesota's defense. I think they have like 3 guys injured, and they've lost like 4 straight. I think that they'll run him quite a bit. I like his receivers. They don't have super tough matchups. I mean, he's got Marvin Jones against Jacksonville. Dez Bryant and the Cowboys are doing really well this year, or I guess recently they've been doing super well. Chiefs defense against Tampa Bay, that could be tough. He's got Robert Kelly at his flex, and I think he's now the number one at
starter,
Washington.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Jordan's got playable guys. I don't know about his quarterback. That's been, you know, we've said that a million times this year about Jordan's quarterback. He's got Andy Dalton in right now, and he's questionable to play. Tyrod Taylor's not a whole lot better. Assuming that they both play full lineups, as much, I mean, as much as Jordan can't possibly go lower, it's still possible, and I would just go with Andrew just because that just seems to be how this year's going for Jordan. But assuming that Andrew doesn't play these guys, Jordan, you might actually get a win this week.
Yeah, the one thing I have to disagree with is DeAndre Hopkins against Oakland. That game is in Mexico City, and to me, that altitude is at 7,382 feet compared to Denver, which is a mile high. That's, you know, 5,280. Fun fact.
Good math.
I don't know how that extra extra 2,000 feet is going to affect either team. I feel like that game is just a complete toss up, really, as to what's going to happen. I don't know if defenses are going to play well. I don't know if the offenses are going to play well or what's going to happen. It's just, I would like to think DeAndre Hopkins could finally get a good week, but he does have Brock Osweiler throwing to him, and that generally doesn't go well for him.
No.
It's not going well for anybody.
No.
Plus the altitude, and Brock Osweiler is just going to be 6 feet higher than anybody else. So for me, anyone in the Oakland-Houston game is just going to be a toss-up as to what's going to happen. I do agree with what you said with Andrew's lineup. Moving in Ajayi to RB2, moving in Floyd or Jackson to the flex would definitely help. Maybe pick up a kicker. I guess if you can win with 2 guys on bye, you can win without a kicker.
True.
That said, yeah, I think Jordan gets the win, even though with all that going on.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, there's just not a whole lot to look at in this matchup. I would like to pick Jordan. I think he's definitely got the best team on paper this week. But I don't know, the luck just doesn't seem to go into his favor. So, I mean, I just can't go with his team this week.
Alrighty then. Well, then we're divided. Next up is Jared. That's a Rivers Runs Through It versus Brandon. Silence of the Michael Sam. Brandon was a part of that thriller on the Monday night, getting 12 from Rashad Jennings and then 20 from Odell Beckham to lock things up. 3 touchdown performance and 69 yards from LeGarrette Blount were some of the highlights from Brandon's team. Jared won 2 weeks ago by a tenth of a point. This week lost by a point and a half. So the fantasy world giveth and it taketh away. Outside of Russ Wilson going for 26, the Broncos defense, thanks to some white cleats and a block kick that turned into a touchdown, some big points there. Matt Bryant making some field goals. Garcon and Jordan Matthews were the only players to even break 10 in that matchup. This week, no Broncos defense for Jared, as well as Matt Money Bryant on bye, as well as some tough matchups for Calamari Cooper against Houston, Jordan Matthews against Seattle. And then is Todd Gurley going to get going? He's got 3 touchdowns on the season. 2 came in the same week against Tampa Bay. Brandon can roll on his 2 tight end train if he wants to, as the Gronk has a hole in his lungs, so that means Bennett is playable, as well as touchdown machine Lego Boo Boo against the Niners. Tim, I've seen you stop drinking your tea to read some of the tea leaves, so what do you see happening in this one?
Well, let's see here. I think Jared is kind of just coasting on at this point. This matchup, has all the implications of a blowout. Although I will say this, Jared's, I feel like most of his players don't have great matchups. It sucked for him losing Anderson because he was able to play Frank Gore as his flex, and that was a really, really strong flex. And now he's got Cole Beasley there. Like you said about Gurley, he's only got 3 touchdowns. I don't think he's rushed for 100 yards a single time this season. I know he's getting a lot of carries still, but he's still really yet to really prove to me that, you know, he's going to come out and put up a big number. Evans, Cooper, and Matthews, I think, are great receivers to have in. Although, like I said, you got at Kansas City, Houston, and Seattle, which are all tough defenses. Kansas City, I think they're more of a rush defense than a pass defense, so I do think Mike Evans will still go off. Like you said, that game in Mexico City, assuming they can get over the wall, should be a good game. I don't know how Cooper will do. You know, he's kind of up and down. Each week is kind of different, whether Crabtree gets all the catches or Cooper gets all the catches. He got 29 2 weeks ago, and then he was dropped down to just 8 against Denver. So I guess that would be 3 weeks ago that he did against Tampa Bay because he had a bye last week. But I would assume Cooper would put up a solid 10 or 15. Jordan Matthews, I don't know about him on the road against Seattle, especially since he's questionable to play right now. And then Beasley against Baltimore.
Can we talk about Beasley for a second? How is he fantasy relevant in our league? How is he fantasy relevant in any league? Like, I don't understand how he... I'm just looking at his picture, and he just looks so goofy.
He looks like Justin Turner is what he looks like on there.
He's a smaller, less ginger Justin Turner.
And a less skilled at that, I would say.
I mean, he's averaging 11 points a week. He's almost 60% owned. He had the big week against Green Bay where he had 2 touchdowns week 5 at Green Bay when Dak Prescott like showed, hey, I can actually play quarterback. Like, why aren't people believing in me? I got it while Dez was down that Beasley like became kind of a number one option. But mm-hmm. even since then, I don't understand. I mean, he had 6 receptions, 4, 6, and 5 the last 3 weeks. He is just an enigma to me. I have no idea what to make of Cole Beasley. He keeps scoring, and I don't understand how.
Yeah, he seems kind of like Enema, right? Because I know that he was kind of, although he's been really bad lately. Cole Beasley, I feel like he's kind of a touchdown or bust at this point. I mean, he's not the number one. He's not the number two, I wouldn't even say, because he's still got, you know, Witten, and his numbers have gone up recently. I don't know. That's not a guy I would be super confident at my flex, but just by looking at the name and what you know about him. But like you said, he manages to put up points. So if I'm Jared, I'm probably feeling okay about it. I don't know who he's going to play with his defense and kicker. I'm assuming he'll pick somebody up at the last minute. I haven't really looked at the waivers, so I don't really know what defenses are available, but I know that the defenses are kind of thin right now.
Yeah, he picked up the Steelers, who are going up against Cleveland, and then he also picked up Dustin Hopkins, who was 4 for 4 last week, had 16 points as well. I got to say, I picked up the Cowboys defense about 3 weeks before they played the Browns, knowing that they were going to play the Browns, just kind of wanted to stash onto them. Steelers, I mean, should put up a lot of points on offense. I don't know how they're going to do on defense. Cleveland had been actually playing pretty decent, not good enough to win, but better. So I was a little worried about going into that game a couple weeks ago that they might pull that off.
Yeah, so in terms of Brandon's team, I don't like Kaepernick in there at all, especially playing against New England, who I guarantee is going to come out wanting to just destroy whatever's in front of them.
Yeah.
Jennings, also don't like that at all, that he's playing Jennings. If I were him, I would try and get Ware in there at the running back instead of as the flex. But then again, if you look at his bench, there's not a whole lot of options he could do at the flex. He could possibly put in Witten and do the 2 tight ends. But, you know, that's personal preference. Blunt, great to have Blunt in there.
Blunt's been a machine.
Oh, like, yeah. I think he got, like, 3 touchdowns last week.
He got 3 touchdowns last week. He's got 1, 2, 3 weeks where he scored multiple touchdowns. He scored a TD in every single game but the week 4 against Buffalo, where he still rushed 13 times for 54 yards. Like,
that's crazy.
He's come out of nowhere to be the number 6 running back in fantasy. just scoring touchdowns like a madman. I mean, his low score for the week is that week against Buffalo, and then the week after against Cleveland, he still got into the end zone, but those are the only 2 weeks he hasn't broken 10 points.
Jeez. I mean, yeah, and I think he probably picked him up like late, like 10th round, 9th round or something like that.
Yeah, he was
a
late,
like,
draft pick too.
Like, that's an enormous pick, and yet Brandon has still managed to not, you know, produce this year. And like you said, and I know Jared brought up a lot of good points a few weeks ago, there's a lot of moves that Brandon could have made to just make his team better that were simple moves. I know he's like, look at this. He still has Roberto Aguayo in at his kicker. And as Jared pointed out, he's the 32nd. He's literally
he's the
last
the
of
worst
all
kicker
the starting
in the league.
Kickers.
Yeah.
And a kicker is something you can always pick up. A kicker, I know he put up 10 last week, but he's certainly, that's his best week all year. And it's probably too late at this point, but he probably could have, you know, maybe found a better kicker. Not that kickers, you know, make or break your team, but sometimes they do. And, you know, if I had a guy in that was, you know, putting up, you know, one, he put 0-1-1 3 weeks in a row, I would have dropped him so quick after that. And then he's got Eagles defense against Seattle. Eagles have put up -2, -5, and -4 the past 3 weeks. And on the road against the Seahawks, that just has all the implications to not go well for Philly.
And Philly, I watched all of that Atlanta-Philly game, because obviously.
Right.
That defense played better than they had the previous 2 weeks. Like, they came out of nowhere, and they were double-teeing Julio, and then they decided to leave him open. And Falcons were driving coming down the field, and had it not been for a couple of badly timed Julio drops, as another Julio owner in a different league, I'm sure that was really frustrating, because, I mean, Falcons could have put up some more points, and that, what is it, 5 last week?
Oh,
that
gosh.
Could have been a lot worse. But, I mean, looking at kickers, you've got Seabass in Houston. That altitude will help kickers kick the ball farther. Graham Gano against New Orleans. Ryan Suckup, the Tennessee kicker, against Indy. There's options out there that are better than a Roberto Aguayo, and it's not even like it's a keeper league where you really need to keep your kicker, and he hasn't proven that he's even worth keeping in a keeper league.
Yeah,
so.
And you don't have to pay any of your waiver money on those kickers. You don't have
no,
to worry.
They're all free
agents. You don't have to worry about dropping anybody, because you can just drop Aguayo. No one's gonna pick him up.
Right.
If you really want him back, you can probably pick him up the next week. So yeah, I don't know. I just think that Brandon didn't really manage his team very well this year. If it were me, I would never start Rashad Jennings. I think that's been a big mistake on his part. If it were me this week, I would definitely start Ware, and I would probably throw Witten in at the flex. I would keep in Martellus Bennett, especially with Gronk out this week.
Yeah,
I think that's
punctured
a
lung.
Yeah, I think that's a great guy to have in this week. Bennett's shown that he can score even with Gronk playing. He got 7 receptions last week. I would expect him to get probably about the same amount this week. So, yeah, I mean, all in all, Jared clearly has the better team. I think Jared's players overall have some tough matchups, but I would still expect them to put up more points than Brandon. So I am going with Jared probably by about 20.
Yeah, I'm looking the other way on this, so we're going to be split again. I think Brandon can pull off this upset. When I wrote up this review, he did have Jay Cutler in his lineup, and he's gone and downgraded to Colin Kaepernick, which is, like, come on, man. I don't know what Luke's been telling you about Kaepernick, but he's not going to do very much. He's facing, I mean, New England's doesn't have a great defense. But Kaepernick's not going to have the almost 400 yards that he put up against New Orleans a couple weeks ago. Rashad Jennings is a bad start. Obviously, you've got flex options if you move Spencer Ware up there, who's clearly a number one. Really, I mean, Blunt, Odell, and Ware, you keep the two tight end trained alive. They all have really favorable matchups. And I really like that compared to Evans, Cooper, and Matthews all have really tough matchups. Gurley hasn't gotten going, and Miami's runs defense is 10th against fantasy-wise. Frank Gore is going to get his numbers. Tennessee's defense is 9th against running backs for fantasy. So there's a lot of red going on Jared's team, and I think he's gone from scoring 120 regularly to last week he barely put over 100. And I think that's kind of a scary drop that, I mean, obviously, it's not like a real team, and his team can go off any week. But, I mean, he's slowly declining, and he's hitting tougher parts for his matchups. I think Brandon's got the team to pull off an upset. That's why I'm picking it. I think he's got the favorable matchups with Odell, Larry Fitz against that Minnesota defense is a little bit sketchy, although Minnesota hasn't been playing great either. And the two tight end train is with Witten and Bennett is a great option. So I'm going Brandon with the upset.
But that's assuming that he makes that move is the thing. I mean, if he keeps,
it's true.
What if he keeps the lineup he has right now, are you still picking him? Because I don't know. I just, with Kaepernick, Jennings.
It's certainly closer if he keeps the lineup that he has now. And I think that favors Jared. Jared's got the tough wide receiver matchups. And in our half PPR, I don't know how I feel like that. The only guy who's got a positive wide receiver matchup is Cole Beasley, who's an anomaly. I like the defense and the kicker that Jared picked up, so he fills those spots whenever he decides to change his lineup. But I think Brandon's got the right matchups at the right time. He's getting Jared at the right time to get the upset.
Yeah, I can definitely see where you're coming from. I considered picking the upset, but after I saw some of these, you know, starters. But yeah, I mean, definitely. Jared has tough matchups this week, and he's got nobody on his bench to really fill in for any of those tough matchups. So yeah, if Jared's going to lose to Brandon, this is definitely the week to do it.
All right, so now we're going to need to address the 5-5 logjam. Right now, in fifth place, it's Luke. In sixth place, myself. Seventh place, Tim, out of the playoff picture. And in eighth place, Fronik, also out of the playoff picture. Here's how those four teams in that order will play in week 11. Luke gets Austin, I get Duncan. Tim, you get Scott. And Fronik, you get Pip. Luke, Tim, and myself, we play third, fourth, and second teams in the standings. Week 12, it goes Brandon, Austin, Jordan, Duncan. Week 13, Andrew, Brandon, Pip, and Austin. Again, the tiebreaker right now is just on points scored. Fronik is in eighth, and he's the fourth lowest scoring team in the league. I think I'm still top three or four for scoring. Luke is one of the highest scoring teams who's really been screwed over by the team he's going against having the highest score in the league, and then he gets the second highest score. I see this as, over the next 3 weeks, it's who beats Austin the most, seeing as he plays three out of the four of us. Tim, you get a... Scott, who's in second place, Jordan tied for last, and Pip also currently tied for last. So I think you've got one of the easier roads. I've got, I think, a harder road having to go through Duncan, Austin, and then Brandon, Luke, somewhat favorable, Austin, Brandon, Andrew. That's a pretty easy road in as well. Fronik gets Pip, Duncan, and Austin. Again, he's screwed himself over for this week, and then tough matchups with Duncan and mm-hmm. Austin as well. And again, since none of these teams play each other, it's very possible everybody just ends up at 5-6, and then there's a lot more mayhem. And if Brandon wins, like I've picked, he jumps into this picture at 5-6, and you've got a five-way tie for essentially fifth place. And it comes down to tiebreakers, which is just the worst, because nobody wants things to come down to tiebreakers. So where do you want to go out of these 5-5 teams and their matchups? Who do you want to start with first?
Well, let's start with Fronik against Pip.
All right. So that is Cars 4, Pip against Hokeback Mountain. That is Nick Fronik. Pip lost to me last week, and until about 12:45, it was actually a pretty tight matchup. Then Devontae and Julio pulled me away. Jameson Crowder, 4 catches for 37 yards and a touchdown, was one of the highlights for Pip. And then because of some turnovers by Saint receivers, mainly my Michael Thomas, and some Breeze picks, it kept Breeze in checks and turned them away from the run, which helped me not having them run with Ingram, as well as a zero from Sammy Winter Coates did not help Pip at all. Excuse me. While Nick, we talked about the two trades he made, and it wasn't enough for him to overcome playing Scott, trading for a decent RB2 that didn't help because McCoy was on a bye. McKinnon filled into his place and struggled. Jeffrey, 4 catches, and now he's suspended. And J.J. Nelson was clearly not the number two option in Arizona. This week, Pip gets what would have been Fronik's only tight end and doesn't have to worry about Brandon Marshall beating him because, again, he's on a bye. Breeze and Ingram on Thursday night. As well, and Fronik spent another $15 on Cameron Meredith, reaching $35 spent on that Bears wide receiver. 3 receptions the last 3 weeks the Bears have played. So has Fronik sabotaged himself out of the playoffs, do you think?
I think he has. I think that Nick as you just stated, has the toughest road to get there, especially since he's losing all the tiebreakers right now. I mean, if you look at the total points, he's only 10 points behind me, so clearly he could pass me up, but he's a solid almost 100 behind you and almost 200 behind, or I guess 150 behind Luke. And so I really can't see him winning the tiebreaker over you two, so he's going to have a better record. And with only three games to go, he's got to win, I would guess, at least two of these. And with them being against Duncan and Austin, this week is an absolute must-win for Nick. He cannot afford to lose to Pip. And he might. Nick's trades, we already mentioned his trades. You guys felt like he won that trade, but clearly with Jeffrey going out, I think I definitely won that trade. The Marshall trade, we'll see how it works in the last 2 weeks, but this week it's essentially he gave up Rudolph for nobody.
Right.
Let's see. He's got Starks in there at running back, and it's really interesting because they're both starting a Green Bay running back.
Yeah.
Pip is starting Ty Montgomery, and Nick is starting Starks. I think Starks... I don't know. Who are they saying is the number one right now between those two?
So I haven't gotten anything about who they're going to play. I'm just kind of going off of what I've seen and just the little bit that I've read. I think Rodgers doesn't like having Montgomery be his running back, quote, which makes me think that they're going to lean on Starks a little bit more. But even if Montgomery isn't the running back, he can still be on the field as a receiver. And Starks is also essentially a pass-catching back, which is what Montgomery has become. So I don't know if they're going to try and run the ball more against Washington or if they're going to stick with Montgomery because that's what they've been going with. It's a very confusing situation, and they're projected about the same amount, too. I'll get to the projection points a little bit later. I think it's 10 to 7 for projections, which is a bit of a wash, unless all of a sudden Green Bay decides we really need to use our run game because we haven't had a run game, so let's try and get that going, or if they just decide we haven't had a run game, let's just stick with the pass game, and we'll see where that gets us.
Yeah, so I mean, Green Bay, they're definitely a passing team right now, especially with not a single solid running back right now. I agree with you. From what I've seen, it looks as though Starks would be ahead of him in the depth chart. Montgomery, as you said, can do. You know, is he the only player that is running back and receiver of eligible?
I think so. Yeah,
and I mean, yeah, that sounds all great, but last week he got three. And he's only gotten 3 carries, 7 carries, 9 carries, and that was the most carries he's gotten. So I can't imagine Montgomery putting up a whole lot of points this week. I would maybe consider throwing Asiata in there because I think he's the number one for sure in Minnesota right now. I don't think McKinnon, I think he's kind of slid down. Back to Fronik's team. He's got McCoy. This is where Nick has got to perform with those trades. He needs McCoy to put up a lot of points. He's got Crabtree back in his lineup against Houston on that Monday night Mexico game. His wide receiver 2 and 3 are big question marks. One thing that's very interesting, so he had Alshon Jeffrey, and now that Jeffrey's out, Cameron Meredith goes up on the depth chart. Fronik, on the 12th of October, he added him for $20.
Yeah.
And then dropped him and then added him for $15.
Yep.
So he's now spent 35, so over a third of his waiver points or money on Cameron Meredith.
Yep.
And that just kind of sums up his recent transactions in a nutshell right there.
And I think when Fronik was on, I think he picked him up after he went, it was like week 5, and he had the 9 for $130, and everyone's like, okay, Meredith is going to be the guy, like Jeffrey's out. Obviously, Hoyer likes him more. And then Fronik was like, yeah, I like the sick guys for a week before I play him so I know what I'm getting.
Wow.
He had a season high in catches, 11 catches for 113 yards. And he's like, all right, I sat him. He did well. I'm going to play him. 1 reception. Next week, 1 reception. Bye week. Against Tampa Bay, 1 reception on a 50-yard Hail Mary.
On a fluke play where he just happened to be there,
right,
where the ball landed.
He very easily...
Could have had 0.
2 targets in the last 2 games that they've played, and one of the targets technically wasn't a target. He just happened to catch the ball. I don't think he's going to see that much more volume. I think Eddie Royal, who is on Luke's bench right now, is the guy to have. That so Meredith is a reach. Obviously, he could be the number one guy. It depends on how they do in practice. I'm still not a big fan of Sterling Shepard, even though he scored 2 weeks in a row. He hasn't topped 70 yards since week three. He hasn't gotten more than five receptions since week two, and that was against New Orleans. I don't think with Eli forcing the ball to Odell Beckham that Sterling is anything more than a wide receiver three or a flex. And then on top of that, Crabtree against Houston, I've said this before, Houston's defense can shut down a top receiver if they want. It's just a factor if they're going to shut down Cooper or Crabtree or kind of alternate between the two. And again, that game's in Mexico City. I don't know what teams are going to do. That altitude is going to be a serious factor, and I think it's going to be an ugly game fantasy-wise unless you've got a kicker.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's tough. It's looking at his team right now, it's just like, you know, and he's got absolutely no one on his bench to put in. He has nobody. He has Freeman on a bye, and he has Gronk, who's hurt. Jeffrey on a suspension. I don't know why he has Sammy Watkins on his team.
Don't understand that either.
I think
Which he could come back. I mean, he's able to practice, and I think he might have shown up at practice, but I don't think anyone said that he's ready to play at this point.
Well, and by the time he's ready to play, the playoffs will already be set. So I get the only reason that move makes any sense is if he does, in fact, get into the playoffs. So, yeah, things are looking a little bleak for Fronik. Kendall Wright as his flex. I think that Marcus will probably be throwing a lot, and that offense is trending upwards, but I mean, Kendall Wright's one of those boomer bust players, you know, it's like, does he go for that one big 70-yard touchdown, or does he get two receptions for 8 yards?
Right.
Like he did last week. And he happened to get a touchdown, but even with the touchdown, he only got 7.8 points. So, I mean, it's just a lot of jargon in there. Let's go to Pip's team. He's got Drew Brees, who's been really, really good. Mark Ingram, I still don't know what to think about him. He's been kind of a Jekyll and Hyde lately. Which one comes out this week? I like Hearns. I like Crowder and Matthews. Crowder and Matthews are both trending upwards, especially Rishard Matthews. He's kind of solidified himself as Marcus's top receiver, other than Delanie Walker.
Right.
And he's gotten four touchdowns in the past 3 weeks. So he's fine in that end zone, which is huge. He now has Kyle Rudolph. And that's another interesting thing I was going to say is, why would you make a trade against a guy you're playing that week? I don't know. I've always tried to not do that because I would hate to just give a guy.
Or a guy you're going to play in the next couple of weeks when the guy you're trading for is going to be on bye.
Exactly. And so it's like, you know, what if Rudolph just has an enormous game and it makes the difference? Like,
right.
I just wouldn't be able to live with that if I was Fronik. I'm not sure about Rawls. I was unaware that he was even considered. From everything I've read, it looked like he wasn't going to play till next week. But it's looking like he could possibly play. Even if he does play, how many points is he really going to put up?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they waived Kristen Michael, so they obviously think Rawls is ready to come in. Finally, out of Pip and I, it worked out for Pip that holding on to Rawls and Michael worked out at the same time. But ProSize looked good last weekend against the Pats. Obviously, Michael's been struggling as of late. And if Rawls is ready, I think Pete Carroll's ready to say, all right, you're our number one guy, unless they decide ProSize is the hot hand and they go with him and Rawls is just a backup. This whole matchup is nothing but players just washing out the other player. You look at quarterback, just the projections, 19-20. Running backs, really only one good running back for either team. McCoy's got the advantage by 7 points over Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
Montgomery and Starks both projected 7. Hearns and Crabtree, 10. Crowder and Shepard, 9. Matthews and Meredith, 9. The tight ends, about, you know, 7 for each of them. And then flex, about 7. And then it comes down to defense, the Dolphins against the Rams or the Lions against Jacksonville. That's where Pip's got the advantage. He's also got the advantage at kicker. And it's going to be really strange, but I think it comes down to defense and kicker in this matchup just because everybody's got such a tough matchup or they just haven't been performing. Hearns has had 2 back-to-back really bad weeks after the garbage time touchdown that he had against the Titans on that Thursday night game. And it's just, I this matchup is going to be so tight and so close that it's going to come down to something like the Dolphins getting an interception or the Lions not giving up too many points to Jacksonville or something like that. This one, I would not want to be Fronik. Looking at the guys that I have, even though it's Pip and he's 2-8 and he's not having a great year, none of the matchups are favorable for him in anything outside of McCoy and Roethlisberger.
Yeah, and another thing I just realized is Nick still has Blake Bortles on his team, who he traded for, and I don't even think he's played him the past few weeks, and he's not playing him this week, and it's probably a good thing he's not playing him this week because he's playing the Lions defense. So if he were to play Bortles, he would have that, you know, I don't even know what you'd call that, but where, you know, one team, if they score, it hurts your other player.
Right.
Or vice versa. So, I mean, just a lot of questionable moves on Fronik's part. If I had to pick a team, I think I would have to go with Pip this week. I honestly do.
I wouldn't start Bortles over Roethlisberger just because he's going to get up against the Browns. I think he traded for Bortles when he knew Roethlisberger would be out for a couple weeks. And then he came back sooner than he thought. And I guess Bortles was an okay option and just a backup for Pip. But, I mean, Breeze is going to go off against Carolina. It's a matter of, are they going to run the ball a lot against Carolina with Ingram? McCoy is going to see the ball a lot with Buffalo. Montgomery and Starks is a wash.
Yeah.
All of the wide receivers have been struggling. Jameson Crowder is the only one with a matchup I really like, just because I think he's more of a number one, two-ish guy in Washington. Again, like I said, don't like Shepard or Meredith. Rishad Matthews is a number one, and Indy's defense isn't great. It's going to be really close, and it comes down to probably like a 1 or 2 point matchup, but I think Pip can win this one. I think his team is built for low-scoring wins. It's a matter of, is Rawls really ready to play? And I like his defensive matchup, again, the Dolphins against L.A. rather than the Rams against Jacksonville, because I don't think the Rams have a great defense.
Yeah, and the good news for Pip is, you know, if Rawls can't play, he does actually have other options. They're not, you know, great options, but, you know, he's got Pitta and Asiata. He could put one of those guys in there. He's got Nelson, who he just traded for. So, yeah, I think Pip has a little bit of an edge, but I agree. I think this is going to be a really close one. Fronik really needs this win, especially in that log jam. And it would be great for you, me, and Luke if Pip got win number three.
Yeah, that would be great, because I think if I don't know what the situations are going to be. Someone else should probably do this. Pip's honestly the best person at coming up with scenarios as to who needs to beat who. And with 3 weeks to go, I think there's too many question marks, but I would think if Fronik loses, I think he really puts himself in a tough spot. And if Brandon wins and Fronik and Brandon are tied, then he bumps down a spot again, which would really put him out of it. So it's a must win for all of us this week in week 11. And then we can kind of look ahead to when there's 2 weeks to who does what, to what needs to happen to get into the playoffs. I'm not great at forecasting three.
No, and it's a little early.
Out.
I think after this week, we'll definitely have a better idea of how scenarios need to go. But with 3 weeks left, it's just at this point, you just got to win your matchup.
Yeah. Let's move on to the team that is in fifth place currently. That is Luke, saved by Lev Bell. His matchup is against Austin. Bend it like Beckham Jr. Luke got the shortest end of the shortest stick of this season. It's at least the third time that he's had the second highest score and lost. And it happened again last week to Duncan. I know this sucks because I was Ben there when I beat him a couple weeks ago, and he had the number two score of the week. I had the number one score, and I felt really bad for Luke that I had to do that to him. He got everything that he needed from Lev Bell, AJ Green, and Edelman, but you just can't beat someone who has eight guys go for at least 15 or whatever it was. Austin got the upset squeaker over Jared. Good week coming back from Doug Martin from his injury. Stephon Diggs, 26 receptions in the last 2 weeks, which is just insane. And Ryan Matthews, who's on his bench last week, had a great week as well. So another option for Austin to roll with here. Looking to this week, Jeremy Hill and Gio Bernard match up against one another in this matchup. Some really solid wide receiver ones and twos. Luke is hurting on byes. No Emmanuel Sanders and Devontae Booker needing to fill his flex spot. So what does your spidey sense, what's tingling for you here in this one?
Oh, it's tingling, I'll tell you that much. Yeah, I was gonna bring that up. Hill against Bernard. Very interesting. That's the second matchup where players are playing a running back on the same team against each other. And I don't really know. I think it's kind of a wash. The Hill is number 21 running back, and Bernard is the 25th. Bernard has more of the flex value, I guess you would say. Hill's more of a goal line type guy. So the circumstances of the game will definitely dictate which one of those players scores more points. Luke did, by the way, send me another trade offer today. It was quite enticing. He wanted Antonio Brown, and he wanted to give me some bye week players. So I had to think about that one for a solid 5 seconds, but going to keep Brown, unfortunately, for you, Luke. But Luke's got a great team. I mean, top to bottom, it's just very strong. I mean, his receivers, with Edelman as your third best receiver on there right now, and with Gronk out, I mean, I would assume his production's going to go up. I do see that Tom Brady's questionable. I was not aware of anything like that. Do you have any information on that, Rick?
I'm just learning this as well.
Okay, so assuming that Brady still finds a way to play, I do like Edelman in there, especially against San Francisco. Hilton against Tennessee, I could see him putting up a lot of points. AJ Green is always a good guy to have in there, and he's just been on a tear lately. Jimmy Graham didn't have the greatest week last week, but other than that, he's been, I know Luke tried to trade him a lot this year, and I think it's probably for the best that he didn't, because he's gotten him some good weeks.
Yeah, I need to look back at the trades he sent me, but I know I was really close to giving up Zach Ertz for Jimmy Graham, and there's a couple other guys involved. I just need to go back and find those trades, because they were, looking back on them, they were really tight. So,
well, it's so hard for me. I don't know if other people feel this way too, but at the beginning of the year, I mean, before players have even played any games, it is so hard for me to even consider a trade, because I don't want to have that year where, you know, I draft really, really well, and then I just ship them out to other people. If you really wanted those players, you probably should have just drafted them. But yeah, I think the whole Jimmy Graham thing, he had Ladarius Green at the beginning of the year, and then he got hurt, and so he had Graham as his, like, I think he kind of just picked him up hoping he would go off and storm on his bench, and the fact that he had to start him, he really didn't want to keep him. But I think going forward, he's happy to have him there. The only blemish I see on Luke's team this week is James White. Still an okay guy to start, especially against San Francisco. And if Tom Brady doesn't play, I mean, that could possibly play a big factor. I know he's certainly second fiddle to LeGarrette Blount. And what about Deion Lewis? Is he playing now? Is he hurt? I don't think he's really played much lately, has he? No, he hasn't played at all this whole year.
He's just come back from practicing.
Okay,
yet,
so I guess you'd rather have White than Lewis, but I don't know. That just seems like kind of a logjam at receiver. I would, if I were Luke, I would be playing Eddie Royal. I don't know why he hasn't already put him in his flex, especially with Alshon out. You already mentioned earlier that he's probably the guy that, if anybody's going to get more targets, it's probably Royal. And I did see that Luke just picked him up, so I would assume he's going to move him in there.
Yeah, I wrote down in my notes as well that I think Royal's the guy to go with White, or over White, mostly because I think you're banking on the Pats running away with it, and then White gets a lot of second half garbage time carries that maybe blow up into big gains or touchdowns. I think Royal is your bigger boom or bust guy, although the Giants secondary, I guess it would be 2 weeks in a row that, you know, he would have AJ Green last week, Eddie Royal this week, going up against that Giants secondary that can shut guys down if they put, you know, Eli Apple on someone or whatever. I would definitely lean Royal if I was Luke. I know he's gotten burned by not starting James White in the past, going back to week 6 when he went for 20 points.
Yeah, but look at the past two times White's played. He's gotten two for 15 and two for five.
He's going for the big boom in garbage time, and I think he doesn't want to take a risk with Eddie Royal in the first week without Alshon Jeffrey. Probably wants to wait to see him do well so he can probably trade him away.
Right.
He'll be absolutely loaded at receiver. AJ, T.Y., Emmanuel Sanders, Julian Edelman will be his wide receiver through flex, basically, and then with Jimmy Graham in there as well. I mean, Luke's got the solid lineup going down these last 3 weeks to get himself into playoff position, and he can't afford to lose here as well because it's just all too tight. I think we both agree he should go for Eddie Royal. Real quick, looking at Austin's team, would you go Randall Cobb, who is struggling the past couple weeks, or would you go with Ryan Matthews, who does have a tough matchup against Seattle, but had a big week last week against the Falcons?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because I have that in my notes. I said I would probably put Matthews in at flex, and the reason being he's gotten four touchdowns the last 3 weeks, and he pretty much solidified himself as the number one. I mean, I think the Eagles came out and said that Sproles was their top guy, and then Sproles got two carries, and Matthews got, I don't know, how many did he get last week? 19. So it's clear that they are still going to give him the ball. I feel like Cobb has kind of gotten himself behind Devontae Parker at this point, or not Devontae, Devontae Adams, excuse me. And Cobb has just been so hard to predict this year. If it were me, I would probably go with Matthews.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. I think you take the risk of playing at Seattle on the road to play a guy that had a big week. He's back. He's healthy. Like you said, 19 carries last week. I would go with him over Randall Cobb, even though the Washington secondary is a little weak. And I think, obviously, you know the Packers are going to be passing the ball a lot, and he's one of those options. But I think he's turned into a number three in Green Bay behind Devontae and
And Jordy Nelson.
Jordy Nelson, yeah. I think he's fallen behind those guys. And then you knowing that they've got a running game back as well, possibly with James Starks. So I think both of these guys at flex should make some changes to their lineup.
I do agree with that. I think that Austin is at a disadvantage at the running back. I mean, Doug Martin, we still don't know what he's going to do. He rushed, 13 times for 14 yards or something like that last week. 16 for 33. And Jeremy Hill, going against Giovanni. So, I mean, I think that Luke definitely has the advantage this week. I think there's going to be a lot of points in this matchup. I think this matchup will have the most total points. I could see Luke putting up 130 and winning by just a few points.
Yeah. I initially thought, because I think Jeremy Hill outscores Gio, and I think Tom Brady outscores Matthew Stafford, I thought that might be enough to kind of carry Austin to an upset, but I think his wide receiver 2 and 3 just hit some bad bumps compared to T.Y. Hilton against Tennessee and Edelman against the Niners, and I think it's going to be high scoring, probably again top two scorers in the league for this week, I'm projecting, for Luke and Austin. And I think Luke's just going to carry it away. I think if Diggs isn't playing Arizona and if Landry isn't playing against the Rams defense, I think that Austin could easily, I think he could beat Luke. But again, T.Y. and Edelman just have too good of matchups this week to not pick Luke to win.
Right. And Luke, he's in the best shape of the 5-5 teams in terms of how many points he's scored. And the next 2 weeks, he plays Brandon and Andrew.
Yeah.
So if he wins this week, he's looking really, really good. Definitely a week where us 5-5ers need Austin to pull another win out of his ass because, I mean, this is a big matchup. I think it's, like we said, I think there's going to be a hell of a lot of points. I think it's just going to come down to which guy had the players that went off the most. So
Yeah, it's going to be tight. So second to last matchup, we're going to hit Duncan, Marcus in Recreation versus myself. I am the $6 million McAnus. Last week, I got the win over Pip. Devontae Adams and Julio Jones both had 18 points over 100 yards receiving. Cam Newton helped me out with a ground score. And other than that, it was a real struggle in the RB department with Jay Stu and Sharkhandrick West struggling. Duncan... Where to start with Duncan? The Seahawks defense struggled after putting up 5 points, and Mike Wallace had a down week after his monster week the week before. Everyone else on his team scored 15. Zeke Elliott nearly had 40, 300 yards of total offense, 3 touchdowns. Doug Baldwin had 3 touchdowns. Jordan Howard at flex rushed for 100, but ends up with 8 points because of a fumble. He beats Luke by 58, nearly got to 200. Pip noted as well, Duncan has more weeks over 140 points than anyone else in the league. I am terrified for this matchup. He would have beat Pip by over 100 points if had those two played last week. He would have won by over 100. Oh my goodness.
I was going to say, he probably put up more than a lot of people put in the past 2 weeks combined. I mean,
If you picked and choose the right team, that's definitely possible. This week, Julio is on bye for me. Melvin Gordon for Duncan, though I'd rather maybe Zeke Elliott be on bye. Might catch a break with the Seahawks playing a slightly revived Eagles defense. I'm pretty loaded up on Thursday night matchups as well, which I never think work out for me. But what do you see happening to the guys in this matchup, Tim?
Well, I'll start with Duncan. I mean, 188 points, he should get some kind of award for that. That is just outrageous. I remember somebody...
He'll get a clap from
all
me.
All right, he'll get a clap, impressive. But he gets a shout-out from me. That's all I'm giving you. really liked Marcus. Well, his name is Marcus in Recreation, but yeah, I like Duncan's team going forward. It's kind of hard to believe, looking at the guys he has, that he's only 6-4. With the running, especially with the running backs he has.
Yeah.
Definitely helps you that there's no Melvin Gordon. He has just been ridiculous this year, which is crazy because I would have never drafted him this year, especially after last year. And I had the chance to, and I remember looking at his name and thinking to myself, I will get roasted if I draft Melvin Gordon. And we did roast him. In that preview that we did, I remember we were like, I can't imagine starting that guy, and he's been ridiculously good.
Andrew and Jared at the draft, when they saw his name get picked, were like, no. Oh, boy. Like, they just weren't great. I mean, as Charger fans, they knew how bad
Charger
he was
fans,
last
they
year.
Didn't want him.
I picked him, I think, no, I traded for him last year thinking, okay, he can turn it around, and I need to save my season so I don't finish in last, and then obviously didn't help me at all.
And then Elliott, that's another guy. I mean, I know, you know, people don't like to hear about your other leagues, but my boss had the number 2 pick, and she picked Elliott, and I grilled her because, I mean, there was still Antonio Brown, there was still Julio on the board, and I'm thinking, how can you pick a rookie running back on the Cowboys over those players? But clearly it's worked out for her as it's worked out for Duncan. Really like his two running backs. Obviously, he would rather have Melvin in than Howard, but Howard is a safe guy to throw in there. I mean, he's still getting... He got 15 touches last week. He got 26 2 weeks before that. The Bears' passing game is still suspect, so I would still expect Howard to get the ball. Jordy Nelson, he could put up 20 this week. Doug Baldwin is clearly the number 1 at Seattle. He put up 3 touchdowns last week. I can't imagine he'll put up 3 touchdowns again.
No.
No way. We'll see if he's been pretty consistent with the amount of touches he's getting, anywhere from about 4 to 6 since week 4. Let's see. Mike Wallace. How do you feel about Mike Wallace?
I don't know. Obviously, he had the big week against Pittsburgh. I would like to think that he's going to have another down week. I'm glad he's not playing Sanu, because I think this would have been one of those weeks where Julio had a down week and then Sanu had a big week, which would have ended up hurting me. Dallas's pass defense is a little interesting. Gave up a lot of yards to Pittsburgh receivers, especially late, as you noted, to Antonio Brown. I don't think he has another big week in him. I think Baltimore's going to struggle against Dallas for some reasons, because that's just kind of what Baltimore does. It's going to be like a a 13-10 kind of game. It's just going to be a bunch of field goals. I think he's a decent wide receiver three play compared looking at the guys that he has. Maybe move Devontae Parker in there and then have some flex options. But even then, you look at the running backs and wide receivers that he's got to work with. Don't really like him. I think he's putting out the best team he can. Marcus has turned into a fantasy stud. We all knew he was a stud in real life quarterback, but now that he's got that mustache, he's really been rolling. The only thing that I like that I'm going up against is that he's got the three Seahawks playing the Eagles this week.
So you got to hope the Eagles just shut him down. If Seattle has a bad week.
I need Seattle to have just a miserable week on defense and like Carson Wentz come out and just absolutely ball and just for some reason prove that he's the greatest quarterback and he can light up the Seahawks defense 2 weeks in a row. But I mean, I'm sure he's got some picks in him. The Seahawks got a lot of sacks in him for sure.
If they're
shutting down Doug Baldwin, I got to hope that, you know, they're shutting him out of field goal range for Hauschka because he's automatic from inside 40, basically. So I know I've got a tough road ahead of me. I'm glad that, you know, Thursday night I've got Newton, Jay Stu, and Thomas in a game that I think is going to be nothing but offense. So I think that benefits me, but I don't think it's going to be enough for me to overcome what Duncan is certainly capable of doing.
Yeah. If I'm Duncan this week, I'm still feeling pretty confident even without Gordon in there. Like you said, I think he has his best possible lineup in right now. I think he still has enough guys. I mean, Marcus, Elliott, and Nelson, just the three of them are going to carry him to probably half the points he'll need to get. In terms of your team, what I wrote down that you probably have what I would call the biggest upside, but also the biggest question mark team right now.
Thank you.
I mean, Cam Newton, I'm still kind of waiting for him to show up, and I'm sure you've been waiting all year long. Last week he was good against Kansas City, but before that, I mean, 14-12. He had 13 in week three with those three interceptions. He's playing against New Orleans, which he put up 27 week six against New Orleans on the road with over 300 yards and two touchdowns. I would expect him to play pretty well. It's a Thursday game. Are they doing the color rush? Is it going to be?
Yeah. It'll be like bright blue, and then the Saints are in all white.
Okay, so that'll probably actually look pretty good. I'm hoping Cam has a big game, and I'm hoping he throws a lot to Kelvin Benjamin. But yeah, I like Cam this week against the Saints, especially at home. Stewart, I would expect him to have a better week than last week. I mean, the past 2 weeks, he's been pretty terrible, but he's still been getting the ball. I would expect maybe a goal line situation where he gets at least one touchdown this week. You definitely take a hit with Julio not being in there at your receiver. So, I mean, you got Michael Thomas as your number one receiver, and that's tough being your number one, especially with him only putting up two last week.
Two because of fumbles. He hurt himself with fumbles, so it would have been six, I guess.
Oh, gosh, he had two fumbles. I didn't even realize that he had two fumbles. But even with those two without those, it's 6 points. I mean, that's not what you want from your top guy.
Yeah. I mean, he's shown that he's got the trust of Drew Brees. He's been, like, the best rookie receiver in the NFL, mostly because of Drew Brees. And Carolina's secondary is obviously not great, and he can still put up a lot of numbers. It was 78 yards and a touchdown the last time they played against Carolina. So I'm hoping, you know, between Cooks and Thomas, they can kind of split things up and have a good week. I'm still not big on Willie Snead, but we'll get to your matchup with Scott in a little bit. I like Devontae Adams. He's come out of nowhere. He was a huge pickup for me when I picked him up. He's absolutely gone off, just become like a number two guy in Green Bay. I hate that Julio's on a bye this week because I really don't want to have to play Macklin and Brown. I would much rather just have to play one of them as I have been and just pick my poison, but now I'm doing nothing but drinking poison. So
yeah,
that's not great for me.
Yeah, Julio's bye definitely came at a bad time for you. I mean, this is a week that, like you said, this is a must win for us 5-5 teams. It's a must. I mean, any team other than the two top teams would consider this probably a must win week. And like you said, I would not like playing Brown and Macklin this week, but you really don't have a choice. Ertz, you know, those three guys I think are going to be your downfall this week. If you can get solid production out of at least one of those receivers, I think they'll keep you in the game. This is a tough pick for me. I think, I don't know what it is, but I think that you could still have really big numbers from a lot of these guys. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they could all go off. I mean, Macklin's a big deep threat. John Brown, I think, will be a number two again since J.J. Nelson was hurt, and I think he proved to be a decent option for the pass game for Arizona. But, I mean, you still have to deal with Michael Floyd and Larry Fitzgerald and then Johnson out of the backfield. It's just as well as Ertz has slowly been picking up his production. He's gotten a lot of looks, which has been nice for me a little bit. Davante Adams and Jordy Nelson, I think, end up being a bit of a wash. Even if Nelson gets the touchdowns, I think Devontae gets a lot of the yards leading up to that. I think Duncan wins. I don't think I've got the right matchups this week. Again, Latavius on Monday night, I don't know what to make. Houston's got a bad run defense, but I don't know if the altitude is going to have any effect on anyone in that game. I think Elliott gets the ball a ton. I think at wide receiver and flex, he's got the edge over me, and I think that's what happens. I think Duncan wins by at least 10, just like it's projected.
Oh, man, that sucks picking against yourself. That's got to hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I'm being honest here. I don't think I can win right now, though.
Yeah, I think you can win. I think that the two games that are going to absolutely just decide this are going to be that Thursday game and the Seahawks game. I mean, if that can be a shootout game Thursday night and get a lot of points out of Cam and Stewart and Thomas, you'll be looking pretty good going into Sunday. And if the Seahawks have a down game, that could really hurt his defense and kicker. And, you know, like we talk about, no one really talks about defense and kicker, but they do matter.
Yeah, and I mean, they're part of your lineup.
Yeah, they're part of your lineup, and that's, you know, he's got both of them in there, so that's tough. I don't know. Having three guys on the same team in there, it would be really hard for me to do that just because, you know, what if that team does have a really bad week?
Right.
Then it's going to screw over. Not only is he going to be mad that the Seahawks had a bad week, but it's going to screw over his fantasy too. And by the way, he's not exactly solidified his spot in the playoffs. He's 6-4 right now. If he loses, he goes 6-5. You would be 6-5. If the other 5-5 teams, if any of them win, there could be a logjam at 6-5. And then if he loses another one, he's at 6-6.
Yeah, it's...
So he needs to win just as almost as much as you need to win this matchup, I would say.
Honestly, with all the projections that we're going to have to go through and the scenarios, we're not going to know until the end of the Monday night game, week 13. Like, that's not – like, it's going to come down to that. That matchup is going to decide fantasy playoff roster or positioning, basically.
For sure. So, yeah, I mean, Duncan, he could definitely miss, I mean, which would be absolutely crazy with him putting up 188. But, yeah, I mean, if he loses two of these next three, or especially if he loses three of the last three, he'll be on the outside looking in.
Finally, our last 5-5 team, Tim, you get Scott. That's Daenerys Targaryen against Full Hauschka. Tim, last week you beat Andrew. What did you think of your team? How do you think you did?
Very, very well. I scored 125. It was the... second most I've scored all year. I have scored at least 118 the past 3 weeks. My team is definitely trending upwards, especially with some recent trades that I think were really good on my part. Like I said earlier in the pod, going into the matchup, I felt pretty good, especially with him having a bye. He ended up playing New England, but... even with Hyde and Enema scoring less than 1.5 points, I mean, 27 out of Brown, 27.5 out of Aaron Rodgers, 18.8 out of ProSize. That was the game changer right there, was ProSize.
Yeah.
And that was just a gem that I picked up off the waivers for, let's see, I don't even remember. I spent $6 on him. So
that's not bad.
That was really big. And if he continues to perform, you know, he might keep that top spot. So I'm feeling really good right now. Honestly,
Scott last week only put up 0.7 more points than you did. DeMarco Murray throwing and running the ball into the end zone. Allen Robinson's now scored in two straight weeks, and Kenny Tiny Hands Britt with a 14-point game as well, and without getting into the end zone. You are the final team that we've looked at in this 5-5 jam. What do you think of your matchup this week?
Well, certainly not who I want to be playing when wins are hard to get by as it is. Scott has been the top team most of this year. Him and Jared have kind of split that spot, but is Jared number one right now with the points? I'm not really sure.
Yes.
Okay, so technically he's the second team right now, but that could change. I actually do feel pretty good going into this week. First of all, I don't know why he has Yeldon in at running back instead of Lamar Miller. Do you know anything about that?
I've looked into this. I think it's because Scott wants to root as hard as he can for the Raiders on Monday night, and he doesn't want to have his heart be torn between fantasy and real-life success. And he's going with real-life success, seeing he's 8-2, he's likely going to be in the playoffs pending. I mean, even if he loses the next three, he's 8-5, he probably still gets in. I think he's saying, if there's a week I can afford to lose by not playing Lamar and my Raiders are on Monday night, let's start TJ Yeldon for shits and giggles and let's just see what happens. And I think that's what he's going with. And I'm sure if you asked him, he would say, I want the Raiders to win. I don't want to have to root for the Texans in any way.
I guess that makes sense, but I would probably be the opposite. I mean, if you're going to have your team, you know, playing a big game that you really want to win, if your team does suck and the other team goes off, at least you have the silver lining of having their player that scored the points. So I don't
right.
know. I don't know about that. But yeah, I think I'm happy about it because I would rather he played Yeldon than Miller. I mean, we'll see how things go. I could be wrong about that, but I mean, Yeldon, he scored one touchdown all year. It was the first week, and he, in the past 5 weeks, he has not broken 34 yards.
He's very clearly a number two so, in Jacksonville. So yeah, I think Scott is tossing RB2 out the window simply for the sake of he wants the Raiders to win.
Well, I deeply appreciate it, Scott. If you're throwing me a bone, thank you. We'll see how that goes. You mentioned Willie Snead. You're not a big fan. I want to elaborate on that a little bit.
I just think he's a number three wide receiver option. I think Thomas has outworked him and worked his way into the number three spot. Obviously, Breeze likes to spread the ball around. He's gotten 6, 3, and 5 the last 3 weeks, 2 touchdowns last week as well against Denver. And I think they started to go to him late because Thomas had the fumbling issues. I don't think that happens again on Thursday night. I think Thomas and Cooks become, again, a 1-2, Snead being the 3 in the passing game. I don't really like any of the receivers in this matchup. Tate is boom or bust. Allen Robinson has been playing better as a receiver. Bortles has been thrown into him a lot more. But compared to your team, you've got 3 really strong wide receiver matchups here that I think are just going to – you're going to outscore them in those positions.
Yeah, so looking at my team, actually, wait, no, hang on a sec. I had a few more things to say about Scott. He's running the 2 tight end train again, which we've talked about a little bit this year. I'm not sure if it's what I would do, but I mean, looking at his bench, he's got Benjamin on a bye, so I guess that's probably what I would do too. Golden Tate was very bad at the beginning of the year, and he's definitely picked up steam, so I'm kind of hoping that he reverts back to earlier season struggles and doesn't have a huge week, but playing Jacksonville, I could see him going off. Murray, I really don't like having to play against Murray, especially against Indianapolis. I think that's going to be a shootout. I think a lot of people are going to put up fantasy points, but I mean, I think this is a week for me that I can win. I think Derek Carr, we'll see how he does in that big Monday night game in Mexico. We'll see how the Vikings do against Arizona because their defense is kind of trending downwards, especially with some injuries. Looking at his kicker, I mean, how many field goals are they going to need to kick against San Francisco?
A lot of extra points.
So, I mean, yeah, even if they score 5 or 6 touchdowns, that's still not a whole lot of points out of his kicker. But, I mean, if they do get those extra points and then one field goal, that could be a big week. So we'll see how that goes. Looking at my team, I would argue that this is the strongest lineup that I've had all season. I finally have solid running back options. I have Theo Riddick, who is finally performing for me. And just a few notes I would like to say. When I made the Riddick trade, Luke kind of grilled me about it on your podcast. He said that he felt like Riddick and Matt Jones were a wash and that I essentially gave up Sammy Coates for nothing. Well, in those 5 weeks since, Sammy Coates has put up a combined 0.9 of a point and Matt Jones isn't even starting anymore. So right. I would just like to say I definitely think I got the best out of that trade. Carlos Hyde, I mean, he had... okay, so he was the guy that put up 13 carries for 14. Obviously yeah. not very good, but I think they were just kind of testing him out. I think that it's clear that he's going to retain the number one spot, which you kind of scared me about last week when you mentioned
DeJuan Harris
possibly, you know, continuing to be the number one. But I think Hyde will revert back. If for some reason Hyde is... out or in Riddick, you know, it says he's questionable right now, which I actually didn't know about. If either of them can't play, I do still have Darren Sproles on my bench, and I have I thought I had another. Okay, so I got Jaquizz Rodgers, but he's probably not going to play. And then I got Procise at my flex. So I mean, even if both guys couldn't play, I can put Procise and Sproles in and feel okay about it. I think I have the strongest three receivers of any team this week. I was looking at all the other teams. I think the only team, the only other receiving core that I would argue could match up is Luke's with Green, Hilton, and Edelman. But I think I would still go with my three. I mean, Antonio Brown, anybody would want to Antonio Brown. That's a guy you start no matter who he's playing. Moncrief is finally back for me. He's scored a touchdown in every single game that he's started and completed this year. I think against Tennessee, he's going to get a lot of receptions. I think he's going to find the end zone again. Kelvin Benjamin, I got him pretty much for nothing since Alshon isn't playing anymore.
Right.
Tight end is tough for me this week. I'd like to keep Gates in there, but he's got a bye week. I had Barnage, but I just recently added Ladarius Green. I don't really know who I'll go with. As of right now, I have Green in there against Cleveland, but we'll see how that goes. I like Procise at my flex. I'm hoping that Rawls doesn't play or that Rawls plays sparingly because Procise, I mean, he got 17 carries and he got 7 receptions. And without even scoring a touchdown, he got 18.8. And then I think there were like 2 straight plays where they were on the 1 yard line where they ran Procise up the middle and he didn't get in. So if he had gotten in, I would have gotten another 6.
Right.
So I think that proved to me that they're willing to give him the ball in clutch situations. All in all, I feel really good about my team. I think I have a really good shot at winning against Scott. I think that most other weeks, Scott would have the advantage over me, but I would actually argue that I have the stronger lineup this week.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm picking you to get the win here. I'm going, your wide receivers are a lot better than his. Antonio probably do better than Robinson. Moncrief over Snead and Benjamin over Tate. Snead and Tate, both boomer bust guys. Snead's only had really a couple really good weeks. And Tate, while he's been playing a little bit better, has only scored 2 touchdowns. One was against Minnesota before the bye week. I just think your wide receivers are going to do better. Scott's got the better tight end flex with his 2 tight end train rolling, and giving up Lamar Miller for TJ Yeldon for the sake of rooting for the Raiders, which is what I'm pretty sure he's doing here. I think that gives you the advantage, and I think you're going to get the upset win here.
I agree. It would be a huge win for me because the next 2 weeks I play Pip and Jordan.
Yeah.
So I would argue that I have the second easiest road to the playoffs behind Luke. I think that I could still, I mean, I would absolutely hate for it to happen, but I think I could still lose this week and still have somewhat of a chance to make it in with, you know, 2 favorable matchups going forward. By the way, I just wanted to do a shout out real quick. Just got a trade proposal from Luke. Darren Sproles for James White. I'm going to have to think about that one. But yeah, I feel good about my team. I think I got grilled on some of those trades I made early, but I think that both of the trades have really gone into my favor. I think that Alshon getting suspended the week after I trade him is a really good omen for me. I think that Scott being, you know, the top team, this would be such a big win for me. It would send a major statement. I haven't made the playoffs in 2 years. So this is my week. This is it. I've got to win this week.
I think you can do it this week. I think if there's ever been a week, it would be right now.
And I do think it's going to be a close matchup, because as much as I do like my own lineup, Scott's got a lot of good players, and he's proven week and week and week that he's able to put up points. I think he's put up more points than me in almost every single week. And God, it would have sucked playing him last week with such a good week. At 125.1, he would have beat me with 125.8. That would have been a Jordan-like loss.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Tim, for being on this week. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been great. Kind of weird doing all six matchups, but it's been great being here. Genuinely miss all you guys. Can't wait to hear from you around the holidays. And here's to all the 5-5 teams losing except for me.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Semi Products Fantasy Football Podcast. If you're looking for more help with your team in your league, listen to Fantasy Football Today live on Sunday mornings here at 8 a.m. on CBS Radio in Eugene on 95.3 The Score, as well as on the CBS Sports Radio app. The guys will be there taking your questions for any last-minute start, sit, advice, or roster ads you may have. You can also follow them on Twitter using the handle @CBSFantasy and the hashtag FFT. This has been the Semi Products Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening.